thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing on the subject of Uncharted. And the series comes out of the book of Joshua. Joshua is a story of the children of Israel, and this is their second major stage in their life. They've come out of Egypt and through the wilderness, and now they're moving into the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the Jewish people. And Joshua is taking lead, and that's the historical part about it. But there's more to the book of Joshua than just history lesson. There are principles and truths that are applicable to our lives today. That's what the Old Testament is all about. It shows us how to understand God's ways. When we see how God dealt with and ministered to the children of Israel, we can kind of look at our journey, and we're on a journey, we're on a walk, and as long as we're here and before Jesus returns, we're going to be on that journey. And during that time, though, we're not just to kind of sit idly by and let things happen. But I believe God wants to partner with us. And first of all, this journey and for his kingdom's sake. But there's taking ground. And all those, their land was a physical location, the land of Israel, which today they have, the Jewish people have, and it belongs to them. Ours is kind of a spiritual ground taking. We're gaining ground in the areas of learning what the fruits of the Spirit are so that we can truly have the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, long-suffering, self-control, and all those things. So we're gaining, we're growing in our knowledge and understanding of God. But we need to know these truths. So that's why we're taking time. I guess our launching verse has been the one that found in Joshua chapter 3, where Joshua and the leaders told Israel, you haven't gone this way before. I mean, you're going into an area where you haven't passed before. You're going to experience some things that are new. You're going to run into some challenges you haven't had before. And because of that, the first six chapters of Joshua talk about and give us principles of preparation. So they prepare us. And so he reminds them of the promises. He reminds them of his promise to be with them. He reminds them that he's going to go before them. And then he gives truths and principles, positions to take if you're going to do it victoriously. We can live our lives and kind of just make it through. But I believe God has more for us than just making it through. I do believe Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, but an abundant life, a rewarding, a fulfilling life that could be lived for him, a joyous life for the kingdom of God. I want that more than anything else. I've experienced it. I haven't always been on the top of it, but I'm gaining ground. We're learning and growing. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. You know, and that's what Jesus will do for your life. He takes you on and you grow all the time. I'm sure you're here because you want to grow in Christ. You want to learn more about him, more about his ways. You want to apply his truths to your life, in your businesses, in your family, in your personal, you know, just being with you. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing it together. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 5. So we're going to focus our thoughts in Joshua chapter 5. We're going to pull three truths out of Joshua chapter 5 that I think I've called them positions. So if you're to put a title on this, put this title, Preparing to Conquer. We're making preparation to conquer the ground that is ahead of us. And we want to take a position to ensure victory. We want to place ourselves where God wants us to be so that we'll ensure victory. So we're going to pull those truths that will be based on those things right there. Let me give you three of the truths. Let's start out with the first one. Know the enemy is already demoralized and defeated. This is important. You might be saying, well, I don't know, he's pretty active this week in my life. But you need to know, take a position that he's already demoralized and defeated. Let me explain it. In verse 1 of chapter 5, look what it says. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. Say melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now, here they're about to fight battles. And they're not really aware of this except that God has already gone before them and done something that they weren't even aware of, and that is he's demoralized them and defeated them by the very acts that he performed for them. And this is a position of victory. Now, back up chapter 4 in verses 23 and 24, the last two verses that lead up to this chapter. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before you until we had crossed over. That, and the reason being, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You see, something was happening. The people, the enemy, if you will, that were on the west side, this is the land that Israel's moving into, they had gotten word of this group of people that were making their way from Egypt to their place. They had heard of the mighty hand of God that was upon them. Word spread. How did it spread? Well, camel trains, just passing on through and then passing on information. You won't believe what happened back there in Egypt 40 years ago. God dried up the Red Sea. People moved over. I mean, God fed them miraculously, has been feeding miraculously from heaven, waters flowing from a rock. And what this did to the enemy, it demoralized them. They were already being defeated, understanding the works that God was doing in behalf of the children of Israel. The same thing's true today. God has already gone before you, and by the things he's already done in the past, he's put fear in the enemy's camp. Now, we don't always see that. Matter of fact, we live too much in fear. Too much of fear of what we think the enemy's going to do to us, not realizing that he's already been demoralized and he's been defeated. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 2, a little snippet of that verse says, the Lord says, the land which I am giving them. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, doesn't that sound like God has already done something for them? I've already given you the land. I've already promised this to you. It's like this is already a done deal. Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, says, in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus, looking at his followers, telling him then and telling us today, he said, listen, you're going to have some battles go on. You're going to have some tribulation, but you got to know that you can have peace because I've already overcome the world. I've already defeated the enemy. I've already demoralized him. You can live in peace. Listen to this text. Found in Colossians chapter 2. I'm only going to be one of the verses up on screen, but let me read you the previous verses. When you, speaking all of us, were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulation that was against us and that stood opposed to us, and took it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, the things we've done in the past, before you knew Christ, the enemy loves to throw them back in your face. He loves to remind you, do you know, this is what makes you think you've changed? Or what makes you think that you have a right to take this land? Do you realize what you've done? And that's what's being addressed here. What you did before you knew Christ has been nailed to the cross. It's a done deal. It's over with. But the enemy, some people say, well, listen, if he's defeated and demoralized, why does it seem like he has so much power? Why do we still fight these battles? Because he's a liar. All he can do is lie. So what he does is he throws lies back in your face, and he throws lies about that you're not going to make it. This is too big for you. You're just, listen, who do you think you are again? And he attacks us continually with lies. Now look at this next verse, though. And having disarmed, say disarmed, the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle, say spectacle, of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's what Jesus did. When he died on the cross, you know, there's a scripture that says that, you know, the enemy was behind that whole thing, bringing him to the cross. But there's an indication that the enemy, after he saw what Jesus did and rose from the grave, he regretted that he did that. It says that if he would have known the result, what was the result? Jesus demoralized him. Jesus defeated him. He took the power from him. Defeated and demoralized. Note this. God is not only mightier. We see God as a mighty God. He's not only mightier than our enemies, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, but he has defeated them already. Now, we kind of look at, okay, God, show up now with your strength. He's already showed up and did it. It's a different position altogether. Another note, our capacity to overcome and tear down the fortresses that are before us, that have been raised up, is always dependent on our new life in Christ. Because we are now in Christ, these things are done, defeated. Our part, we need to be rightly related to Him, rightly focused in on Him, rightly dependent on Him. So all of these experiences that God was leading them into were only building their spiritual strength, only making them more aware that God is more than able to do it. So number one, the enemy's already defeated. He's already demoralized. Number two, no, there's more than meets the eye. In our moving forward, in facing our challenges, you need to know there's more than meets the eye. Let me explain. In Joshua chapter 5, I'm going to jump all the way to the end, to the last verses, verse 13 through 15. Let me read the story here. We'll set it up. Now it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. They have come over the Jordan River. God did another miracle. They're now about to face their hardest obstacle they've ever faced. He's by Jericho. That he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, Joshua is the appointed leader at this time. He's the one that has the responsibility to take the children of Israel where they haven't been before. There's some of the experiences that they've had, but a lot of what he's about to take them into, they haven't been there before. I want to tell you, we're moving into uncharted area, folks. You're going to face some things you haven't faced before. God knows this. We need to prepare ourselves, position ourselves. So he's the leader. As a leader, you have to understand, try to put yourself in his sandals, just for a moment. He's got this great responsibility. This children of Israel moved through the wilderness. Joshua was here before. He has memories of 40 years prior to this. He crossed over the Jordan. He was one of the 12 spies that went in. He searched out the ground. His heart was filled with faith. He went back expecting the people to join in, and they're going to move in. They went back. He was only one of two out of 12 that believed they could do it. The rest of them said they couldn't. As a result, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. This was on his mind. Not only that, he's looking at Jericho. Jericho is something they hadn't faced before. You might be in something you hadn't faced before. You might face something this year. You've never been this way before. These walls alone had to be terrifying. Picture these walls. First of all, they had a retaining wall that was at least 15 feet high. On top of the retaining wall was a wall that was 6 foot wide at least to 9 foot wide, another additional 25 to 30 feet above that. So standing at ground level, looking to the top, you're looking at 45 to 50 feet on top of these walls. Chariots could run on top of these walls. They have excavated, there are some archaeological digs that have found towers behind those walls that are as high as the wall, and inside the tower there's actually stone steps that make a circular stairway going up to the top of the tower. Powerful fortress. He hadn't seen this before. Not only that, they don't have the equipment that the enemy has. They don't have catapults. They don't have chariots. They have swords. They have spears. They have shields. They have helmets and things like this. No previous experience. No equipment. It's an enormous task. The weight of this is on his shoulders. And as a leader, I know he's out there saying, God, what in the world am I going to do? Lord, give me direction. So as a military man, he's thinking, strategizing. He's probably also praying and thinking about the Lord and all of this. All of a sudden, he looks. He sees a man. The man's not just standing there. He actually has a sword drawn. When someone draws their sword, that means they're ready for combat. So his thoughts are, well, I got to be careful here. Is this guy for us or against us? Because he could be someone who just showed up and was going to help him, or he could have been someone that was outside the Jericho walls was out there. So he asked him the question. Now, we know this man to be the pre-incarnate Christ that appeared. How do we know that? Because if it were just an angel, he wouldn't have asked for worship. Never does an angel ask for worship. He does the opposite. When those try to worship an angel, he lifts them up and says, don't worship me, worship God. Jesus showed up many times in the Old Testament. Before he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus was. How many knows that? So he already was. So he showed up as the pre-incarnate Christ at this particular time. He's here to teach him. Joshua still needs to be taught something in order to win the victory, not only over Jericho, but in the preceding battles. His question, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, listen to this. The question itself reveals a mindset, the way we approach our problems, and it's not a good one. We tend to see the battles we face as our battles, the forces we face against us as individuals, because we're pursuing our cause or our concern or our agenda. So the answer back is one that you wouldn't think. You would have thought that he said something like this. He loves Joshua. He loves the children of Israel. He's been with them for years now. You would have thought, hey, I'm here for you, Joshua, and I'm here for Israel. Let's go. We're going to win this battle. Most of the time when we pray, that's kind of what we're looking to hear. I'm for you. I'm with you. Let's go. Let's go do it. But he says no. He said, I'm not for either side. With all that God had already said, he says no. He said, I'm not here to take sides, but to take over. I want you to get that. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over as commander of the Lord's army. Now, this is foundational to assured victory. You've got to understand this. The need was for Joshua to acknowledge God's claim over him for God's purposes. There were a couple things happening here. Jesus was laying claim over Joshua. It wasn't that the commander was at his beckoning. It's Joshua needed to be at his beckoning. I'm claiming my lordship over you. I'm claiming this is my purpose. Joshua, this isn't your cause. You're not fighting these battles because it's going to bring you into a better lifestyle. You're going to have a better place to raise your children. That's not what this is all about, Joshua. This is about me. Too often we move through life and we want God to fight the battles to bring us into a better lifestyle for ourselves or make it easier for ourselves. And you need to know that there are purposes that go far beyond that. And Joshua and the commander was making it clear to Joshua, Joshua, this is on my agenda. I am using you. You're going to move in. You're going to be blessed. You'll have a better place to live. You'll have a better place to raise your family. You will abundantly be provided for. But the end result of all this is that the nations of the world are going to know there's a God in heaven, and he's a powerful God. This was God's thing. He had to make that clear. That's a position that we need to be aware of. Our tendency is to try to marshal up and get God's support and to support us rather than to submit and follow him. Joshua gets it. He gets it right away. He falls on his face and he worships God. What does my Lord say to his servant? There's another principle. God is reminding Joshua and us of his personal presence and his powerful provisions. Seemingly, this is an impossible situation Joshua's in. Seemingly, you look at those walls, how's he going to do this? And the commander is saying, Joshua, it's not just you. Listen to this, this is another truth. It's not just Joshua and his army, but here's what the commander says. The commander says, he said, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. You remember our point. Our point is that there's more than meets the eye. We need to know there's more going on as we move through life than meets the eye. We don't always see it in the physical realm. And he comes as the commander of the Lord's army or the host of heaven. What he is saying here, he said, Joshua, it's just not you and Israel, and I'm going to be there with you to strengthen you. I want you to see something else. I'm the commander of the Lord's army, and the Lord's army is made up of myriads of angelic beings that are at your disposal. I'm going to use angelic beings. They're mustered. I'm mustering these angelic beings to be with us as we move in. Let me give you a practical example. 2 Kings chapter 6. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6. You can read it later. Make note of it. Verses 8 through 17. Let me set it up. The king of Syria is planning to attack the king of Israel. And he puts his plans together in the council of his own chambers. As he goes out to attack Israel and the king of Israel, they already know his plans and avoid the attack. The king of Syria is outraged. He goes back to his people that he planned with. He said, okay, who's the guy with the big mouth? Well, that's my translation. But he was saying something like, in other words, who spilled the beans? Who told them our plans? One of the servants comes and said, listen, none of us did. But there's a man in Israel named Elijah. He's a prophet. He always tells them what we're going to do. The king says, go get them. I want them. So he sends chariots and horses to go get Elijah. Elijah's down in a town named Dothan. And there he's living down there. So he set the horses and the great army, and at nighttime they surround the city of Dothan where Elijah is. Elijah's servant gets up in the morning. He goes to the window to pull the shades back. When he pulls the shades back, he looks out, he sees these chariots and all these warriors surrounding the city, and he freaks out. Well, he says, alas, that's the same thing. Freak out and alas. He said, wow. He runs back to Elijah, shakes him, wakes him up, and he begins to tell him. He said, Master, what shall we do? Elijah says this, listen to these words, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elijah prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Our point is, know that there's more than the eye meets the eye. He said, open their eyes. He goes back to the window again, and he sees additional horses and chariots, but these horses and chariots are of fire. And they are greater in number than the horses and chariots of the Syrians. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, when Jesus was facing his darkest hour, the temptation at the end was for people to step in and rescue Jesus from doing what he needed to do. But we know the purpose of God was to come and go to the cross. So as they were standing and voicing this to Jesus, Jesus says this to him in Matthew 26, 53. Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide for me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, do you know how many people make up a legion? 6,000. That's 72,000. He said, don't you think I could pray? My Father will send 72,000 angels right now. Just think if you had 8,000 angels right beside you fighting battles with you. Would you look at that battle a little bit differently? That's where what God wants you to see. Lord, open our eyes. You need to realize as you make your way on this journey through here, you're not alone. God has already gone before you. He's defeated, demoralized the enemy, and he has all these angels that are going to fight for you. In Hebrews chapter 11, as you make your way through that book and you read about all the accounts of the great victories the children of Israel had, you can see the footprints of angels in all of those miracles. Now, God could snap his finger and do anything he wants to do. For whatever reason, he's chosen to create angels, and he uses angels in the battles against the enemy. You see it through the whole Old Testament, spiritual battles that are going on. Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's a spiritual realm where there's a warfare going on between the angels of God and the fallen angels. And in these battles, let me give you another example where I see angels moving. And there are lots of them. It's an exciting study. One that's familiar to this story. If you go back 40 years, they're passing through the Red Sea. We know the story. God miraculously opens up the Red Sea. The children of Israel are going through on dry ground. But there's a text that tells us that after they had gone through and they're about to go out the other side, the Egyptian army with chariots and their warriors make their way back down into the riverbed and are following after them. But as they're pursuing them, it says that God troubled the Egyptians. And it describes how he troubled them. Their wheels were falling off their chariots. They were stumbling over one another, even to the point where they looked at one another and they said, this is a losing battle. And they literally were turning around to go back. These unknown forces were at operation, but before they could go back, the river drowned them. Do you know what I believe? I believe this with all my heart. There were angels there just simply sticking out their feet, and those chariots were running all over them. They were stumbling. They were pulling. Hey, watch this. I believe it. I think they were having fun doing it, too. And these angels were in operation. You see, you need to know that there's more than meets the eye going on in this tremendous, tremendous victory God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits to serve those who will inherit salvation? God has available ministering angels, and they minister to the heirs of salvation. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, these angels are there. Listen, there are angels in this room right now. There's no doubt. There's probably one beside you. But you're looking at that person and saying, there ain't no angel there. You got to watch who you look at right now. But they are angels. They're real folks. They're part of God's creation. This is how God's working out his will. The third position. No serving God's purpose is a holy thing. Know that when you serve God's purpose, what you're doing, your walk with Christ, your walk through this life, it's a holy thing that you're involved in. Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. I've read this verse many times, and I've done this many times, just in a personal way, but before the congregation before. Taking off one's shoes is a sign of humility. It's a sign of service. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of respect. And the moment Joshua knew who he was standing in front of, he took off his sandals. And he was willing to submit himself to that. You see, Jesus is not only the Holy One in our redemption as a suffering Savior, but Jesus is the Holy One in our warfare, our victorious Savior. And when we go, we need to see that our approach, our position needs to know it's not your battle, folks. It's not your battle. God has already gone before you. Now, God wants you to gain ground. Why does he want you to gain ground? The same reason God was using the children of Israel to gain ground over the enemy. Every time you gain ground, it brings glory to God and all that he's done for you. Now, if your purpose is to move forward and you're calling on God, many times say, God, I need more finances in my life. Lord, I need a breakthrough through this particular thing so I can get on my life. But if your agenda is to provide a more comfortable life for you, and you're only focused in on that it's going to be better for you or that you want the relief from you and the pressure from you, if that's where your focus is, folks, it's not going to happen that way. You got to know that you're on God's agenda. And why would God want to increase you financially? Why would he want to increase you in your faith? So that you can better stand before him, working for the kingdom of God to carry out the things God wants you to carry out. Now, let me remind you one more thing. Then we're going to sing a song that relates to this. Joshua's encounter with the commander of the Lord's army was an encounter with what we call the Logos. We know that Jesus is the Word. In John, the Gospel of John, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus and the Word are inseparable. You know that. So when Joshua was standing before the commander of the Lord's army, he was standing before the Logos Word of God. Now, there are two Greek words for the Word. There's Logos, which means all of the Word of God. That's all of the Word of God. Then there's Rhema, which is a specific word for a specific situation. He was standing before the Logos. Now get this, you got to get this. As he was standing before the commander, what was the commander asking him to do? To submit to what? The Word. If you're going to live any victory in your life, if you're going to get any victory in your life, you've got to know the Word. You've got to hide this Word in your heart that you don't sin against God. The value of this Word, this is the living Word of God. Now, I know I'm putting this up before you as a pastor. A lot of times we're kind of like, you know, it's like that's what leadership is supposed to do. They tell us we need to get into the Word of God. And sometimes we kind of, without realizing in a subconscious way, we don't see the value. I'm not just trying to get you into some spiritual discipline in your life. I want you to know that when you come in contact and this becomes part of your life, it's living, and your victory is based on your understanding of God through this Word. Amen. Your position that you take before God, your victory that's going to be a result is because you know this Word. This Word has become part of you. You have absorbed it. You have memorized it. Now, here's we've been talking about this in the green room with the team here before we came out, first service. You know, we have cell phones. You have your cell phone on you? Of course he does. But iPhones, you know, we are all blessed by technical advancements. But you know, it's also become a crutch. And what we have now is that if we want an answer to something, you Google it. Da 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 da. Oh yeah, there's the answer. So we have become so accustomed to this, and what has happened is that here's the danger of that. When you come up against a wall like Jericho, when you come up against a financial problem, when you come up against a marriage problem, you can't Google that up. You can't Google that up. You're not going to get an answer. You don't have time to get it. That's not where you're going to get it. You get it from consistently knowing what is in the Word of God. Then you know how to respond to your mate. You know how to raise your children. You know how to live by your conviction. You know how to fight the enemy. You know who your God is because you hid this Word in your heart. So we have used, and we give God praise through it. There's a value. Joshua stood before the Logos as commander, And the Logos word before the Word of God. There is no substitute for this word. Folks, I can't tell you the value of this word. The memorizing it, the studying of it. So when you hear me say it, it's not harping just to get you in a group. Man, it's to give you life. It's to give you life. It's to give you victory. It's to get you on a path and a position where you're living the kind of life that Jesus promised you. I believe in the abundant life. It doesn't mean we're not going to face tribulation, but I want to tell you, if you got this word hidden in your heart, you're going to be staying a lot more victorious than the person who doesn't have it hidden in their heart. They're going to stumble through life. They're going to be confused. The enemy's going to lie to them, and they won't even know it's a lie. Do you know how you know it's a lie? When you know the Word of God. And you know the devil's lying to you because you come right back at it like Jesus did. When the devil lied to him, he came back with it, the Word of God. When the devil lies to you and tells you you're not worthy, you say, God has accepted me. When he says that, listen, you have failed so much, God has forgiven me. You come back immediately. It's part of your life. How many understand what I'm talking about? I want you to stand with me, please.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.